right. Well, this week we're starting a new series called Foundations, and we're going to spend the next 3 weeks really talking about the importance in our lives as believers of being in God's Word every single day and building that foundation in our life, that no matter what happens, that we are built deep into the rock that is Jesus Christ. And so turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at a few verses there this morning. And I need to set this up before we dive into the Scripture. And if we back up to Acts chapter 3, we see something really cool happen, a really neat miracle where Peter and John were going to the temple. They were going to pray as they did every single day. And there was a man who all of his life, for 40 years, had been lame. He couldn't walk. And he is sitting there at the gate, and one of the things that they would do in that culture is that's how they would earn their living. And they would sit there, and as people came to worship, part of their worship was taking care of those who couldn't take care of themselves. And so here he's looking for some money, and Peter and John walk up, and I can tell they were preachers because they're like, well, we don't have any money, but I have something better than money. He says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so this man jumped up. And I mean, think about that. When you have something happen in your life where you're not doing something, you kind of lose that muscle mass. You know what I'm talking about? And here's this man, never walked before, and he starts jumping around and leaping up and praising God. And everyone's like, what's going on? And so obviously people start to walk around because they recognize this man who all of his life had been there begging for money. They had seen him. If they were faithful as they came in and out to pray every single day, they would see him sitting there. And all of a sudden he's running around and he's jumping, and something big was happening. And we want to see about not only that miracle, we're going to touch on that just briefly. We're going to see more importantly about who Peter and John would. So if you would, stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning as we look at Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. While they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the day. Now, we need to stop right there real quick, okay? One thing you need to know, the Sadducees did not believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they were really upset that here Peter and John come in and they're preaching about Jesus got up out of the grave that we just sang about a few minutes ago, got up out of the grave and was alive, and that we could have eternal life. They were upset about that, all right? Little context there. So, verse 3, they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts this morning. Help us to learn and understand and apply to our lives your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as we talk about this story here, as we talk about this context of foundations, here's what we're saying. Every single one of us, if you name the name of Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we have to build our lives on something. And the kind of the logo that we have for this series is bridges. All right, I've never built a bridge, but I've driven over several of them. Number of them I've driven over scared to death because I hate heights. In Florida, when we lived there, there was the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. If you've ever been on it, it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's a high bridge, and I mean, cruise ships can go under it, and everything. And when I would drive on that, man, I would you know. white knuckle that steering wheel. My palms would be all sweaty, and I wouldn't like to be on the edge. I would get to the inside, you know, in the fast lane. I'm doing like 30 miles an hour in the fast lane because that's as far away from the edge as I could possibly get. And I found if I got right behind a car, I'd just stare at the bumper of that car no matter what else was going on because it was terrifying, all right? But here's the thing. To go over one of those bridges, there has to be something that it's built on, right? If you try to go over that bridge and they just kind of throw a couple sticks up and sink them into the ground, you're going to fall. In our lives as believers, if we just try to go through life thinking everything's hunky-dory and everything's going to be great and I'm just going to show up to church on Sunday morning and my life is going to be perfect, you're going to fall. We have to have a foundation in our lives, and we can see that here from these men, Peter and John, these apostles. And we'll look at three things this morning, and the last part is really going to be kind of very practical, give you some steps that we can walk out of here beginning to do. But first of all, we're going to talk about this, reasons why we don't spend time with Jesus. I've been in ministry now for almost 19 years, and I can tell you that when it comes to this issue of spending time with Jesus, I have heard all of the excuses. Now, I'll tell you, they're excuses. They are excuses because we will always make time for that which is important to us. And so everything that we say in there, my schedule, my life, my kids, my wife, my husband, my dog, my squirrel, whatever it is, they're all excuses. And we see, here are some excuses that we have. First of all, we feel uneducated. We are uneducated. We say, man, I've never been to Bible college. My guess is that the majority of Christians in America today have not been to Bible college. That's okay. That doesn't disqualify you from picking up the Word of God and spending time reading it. You say, I'm uneducated. I've never had that formal training. But we also feel that we're untrained, that we don't know how to do it. I don't know what I should do. Should I underline stuff? Should I circle stuff? Should I read it in this version, that version, whatever? None of those things matter. But how about this? We feel that we don't have time. This is one of the biggest lies that you can tell yourself and believe, that we don't have time. Because every single one of us has time if we choose to take it. If we say, you know what, this is going to be a priority in my life, and I'm going to make sure that I take this time to spending the Word of God, to study His Word, so that I can have a good foundation in my life. And we also feel that we don't know what to do. Look there, we're going to put this verse 13 back on the screen again, and I underlined two words. They were uneducated and untrained men. You know what they were doing? They were on trial in front of the holy rollers. They were there in front of the professional religious people. That's their whole job, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. What they did was they were the religious leaders. They were the elites. They went through all the training, and most of them had even memorized the first five books of the Bible by the time that they were probably about 12 or 13 years old. They had been through religious training. They had sat at the feet of a rabbi. They had gone through all this training. Now they were the elite. They were the religious leaders, and they're looking out at Peter and John and said, they don't have any of this. But one thing they could tell, that they had been with Jesus. Here's the bottom line. The reason why we don't spend time with Jesus is we don't really love Jesus. We like Jesus. We like what He can do for us. But we don't really love Jesus. See, Peter and John, they didn't love Jesus at first. They saw His miracles. They thought the show was pretty cool. They liked the things that He did, but as they spent time with Him, they began to love Him more and more. In Luke chapter 5, we see that Jesus is walking along the sea there, and He sees Peter and John and the guys, they're cleaning their nets, and there's a big crowd, and He says, hey, Peter, let me jump in your boat real quick, put out a little bit. I'm going to use that as my teaching platform. And he teaches, and then He says, after He's all done, He says, all right, let's go fishing, boys. And they're like, oh, man, we've been fishing all night. We didn't catch a single thing. By the way, that was a miracle right there. They were professional fishermen. They knew where the fish were. They knew how to catch them. They had their nets. They had all of the latest technology to go and find. I don't know if they had any depth finders or anything like that, but they knew how to find the fish. And they said, all right, we're going to do it just because we're going to kind of humor you. We'll show you, Jesus. And they put out there, and what happened? Man, they brought in so many fish that the boats began to sink. And what happened, man? They were looking at that saying, holy smokes, look at all of these fish. And Jesus is like, come on, let's go. Come follow me. Come walk with me. And so when they left, they didn't love Jesus at that point. They were like, that was pretty cool. That was really neat, a little trick that he did there. I liked that. That was fun. And then they spent time, the next 3.5 years that they walked with Jesus, they talked with him every day, they spent time with him, they ate with him, they hung out with him, all of these different things, every single day for 3.5 years, and they began to love him. In any relationship in our lives, whether it's a husband and wife, or whether it's a friend situation, you don't get to love someone by seeing them every once in a while. We all have some of those friends, don't we? Where maybe we went to school with them or something like that. We see them like once every 4 or 5 years, and we like them. They're kind of neat, but we wouldn't say, man, they're my best friend. Those people that we do life with, those are the people that we really love and we really enjoy spending time with and we really have a good relationship with. You see, if we only spend 1 hour a week with Jesus, we're never going to love him. Spending 1 hour a week with Jesus will never give us a true love relationship with him. And so the biggest reason why we don't spend time with Jesus every day is that we don't really love Jesus. And you're sitting there saying, I'm offended right now. I'm in church. I'm glad you're in church. Can I tell you something? In churches across America this morning, there are more unsafe people in churches than safe people in churches. You say, in our church? Maybe. I don't know. See, one thing that God did not give me is he didn't give me those glasses I could put on to see your heart. He didn't put me those glasses that I can put on to see whether or not you really have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know if you do or not, but I can tell you something. If you really have a relationship with Jesus and you're not spending time with him, you're not growing. You're not in the right relationship where you need to be. And so we have these reasons. But here, number two, there are some things that happen when we spend time with Jesus. Can I tell you something? When you spend time in the Word of God, something's going to change. It is inevitable. God's Word is powerful. It is sharp. It is life-changing. It never returns void. And so when we spend time in the Word of God, something is going to happen. I remember one of the first kind of real recognitions I had of this was when I was working for Word of Life, and I was working at their camp in upstate New York. And we were there, and we were on the island, and we had all these kids there, and we had this one group of teenagers that came in from a church in North Carolina. And they weren't quite Satan and the demons, but they were like next in line, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? And so all week long, man, we were having trouble with them, doing what they weren't supposed to be doing, using language they weren't supposed to be using, not caring. They were just there because someone threw them on a bus and took them to camp. And I praise God for that person that put them on that bus and took them to camp. But they were going through this, and so at night was the worst. The counselors were exhausted, you know, and it's about 12:30 at night, and these guys are running around the cabin. It's 2 in the morning. They're running around the cabin. The counselors are tired. They want to sleep. They've got to be up at 7 o'clock the next morning. And so one thing that they realized was that even though they did not give any respect to anyone, they always gave respect to the Bible. It was the weirdest thing. If you talk to them, man, they would just talk over you, but as soon as someone started reading the Bible, they would shut up. And so here's what one of these counselors, his name was Ben Thompson. He decided what he was going to do every night was he was going to just read from the Bible. And he started out reading in like Leviticus, and he said, man, I need something different here. He started reading the Psalms. And every night for about 30 to 45 minutes, he would read the Bible out loud. You know what began to happen? It wasn't the campers that changed. It was Ben who changed. Ben saw his life change because he was just spending more time in the Word of God. He was doing it for a disciplinary reason to kind of get these kids to shut up and go to sleep and settle down a little bit. And he was diving into the Word of God and just reading it, and he saw things happen in his life that he had never seen happen before. Something is going to happen. There are several things that happen when we spend time with Jesus. Number one, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Look there in verse 8. It says, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, and it goes on to tell us what he did. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the extensive influence and control of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's what I know in this room this morning. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, then you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of God at the moment of salvation came into your life and lives in you. All right, I know that about every single believer that's in here. Here's what I also know. Not every single one of us has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, don't use these terms and think, you know, hey, we're going charismatic and Pentecostal. This is not a running up and down the aisle, barking like a dog type of thing. All right, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what the filling of the Holy Spirit was. This evidences in an abiding state of influence in the believer, not just a specific event. In other words, what the filling of the Holy Spirit is that at this moment that Peter was being controlled by the Spirit of God as he got ready to face these accusers. As he got ready to answer them, he wasn't just like, let me pull my notes out and see what's going on. He was already controlled because he had been spending time with Jesus. He was being controlled by the Spirit of God. Dr. Charles Ryrie says this, "This facet of the Spirit's filling is the finest character reference one could have. It seems to be something every believer can experience, but not something that every believer does experience. Though specific conditions are not mentioned in these contexts, the normal requirements for Christian growth would be implied conditions for attaining this kind of character." So what are the normal requirements for Christian growth? How do we grow physically? We eat food, all right? Hopefully maybe healthy food every once in a while, all right? And we exercise and we see growth take place. How do we grow spiritually? We eat spiritual food. That's the Word of God. So in this room, even though I don't think there's any babies in here right now, even though none of us in here are babies physically, there may be a lot of us in here that are babies spiritually. Because we think, man, if I just come to church, everything's going to be great. If I show up Sunday morning, I'm even going to come Wednesday night and go to Bible study there. Everything's going to be wonderful. You are a baby Christian. Now listen, I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. God's desire for every single one of us is to grow spiritually. And to do that, we have to be in His Word. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit is not confused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It takes place, which takes place at every believer's life at the moment of salvation. The filling of the Holy Spirit is God's controlling influence in our lives because we've been spending time with Him. Remember who's preaching here? Peter. What was Peter's job? He was a fisherman. You know what he wasn't? He wasn't a great public speaker. He wasn't a politician. He, at this point, wasn't a pastor. He wasn't accustomed to being in front of crowds. He was uneducated. He was untrained. He was not bold. In fact, just a few months before this took place, when someone said, "Hey, you were with Jesus," he's like, "Not me, man." Three times he said that. He wasn't bold. Now, all of a sudden, because of the influence of the Spirit of God in his life that came from spending time with Jesus, he was able to get up and he began to preach the gospel. So the first thing that happens is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The second thing that happens is we are ready to share the gospel. Look what he says in verse 12. I love this. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." Because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was ready for it because he spent time with Jesus. He spent time in prayer. He spent time studying the scriptures. He spent time after Jesus died reflecting back on those things that happened when Jesus was alive and how he taught them and how he walked with them. And think about this. Peter and John, they got the benefit of all the stuff that happened that wasn't written down in Scripture. That's pretty cool to think about that. All the other little teachings that Jesus, remember at the end of the book of John, John said, man, if we continue to write down everything Jesus did and said, the world could not contain the books that it would fill up. They got to reflect on all of those things, and so meditating and praying and all of those things, and so he was ready to share the gospel. Even though he was arrested and even though he was in front of these religious leaders, he was able to do it because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit because he had spent time with Jesus. Now, let's fast forward towards the end of Peter's life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I think when we put these two passages together, this passage in 1 Peter 3 kind of gives us a little bit more context. Look at what he says. "Who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good?" What was happening in Acts chapter 4? He was arrested. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if he was going to be beaten. He didn't know if he was going to be in prison. He didn't know if he was going to be killed. But he was saying, who's going to harm you? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. I think when we compare these two passages together, we see, oh man, Peter is writing from experience, where he was there at that moment where he didn't know what was going to happen, but he was ready. He was ready to share the gospel. He was ready to share the gospel because he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God because he spent time with Jesus every single day. You see, when you love someone or something, you're going to talk about it. You're going to talk about them. You know why many of us don't share the gospel? It's not because we don't know how. It's because we don't really love Jesus. We like Jesus. We like eternal life. We like those things, but we have not crossed from like to love. You see, love happens when we spend time with Jesus every single day. When we spend time with Jesus, we begin to love him more and more, and we are ready and willing to share him with others. So things that happen when we spend time with Jesus every day, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are ready to share the gospel. How about this? Others recognize it. Look there again at verse 13 of Acts 4. It says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Look at those three words we have highlighted. Observed, realized, recognized. Observed, realized, recognized. Now, we see this happen in a number of ways. We see that believers can see this in other people. We go to Acts chapter 6 when the church decided, hey, we need to select some deacons to help do the ministry. One of the qualifications of those deacons is that they were filled with the Spirit. In other words, they were men who were walking with Jesus, who spent time praying, who spent time studying the Scriptures, spent time meditating on the Word of God, that those were the people that they wanted to have in leadership. So we see that believers can see that, but also unbelievers. Here, they're standing in front of a group of people who did not believe in Jesus. They thought Jesus was a fake. They thought he was a fraud. They thought that this whole thing was a sham. And what they did is they had recognized Jesus in them. You say, how? Well, if you think about it, if you read the Gospels, we see the religious leaders around Jesus all the time. Not because they loved him, but because they were trying to find a way to get rid of him. And so they heard Jesus teach. They heard him as he loved on people. They watched him as he fed people and healed people. They listened as he was kind and loving to those who were outcast, and they saw all of those things, and then they see Peter and John, and they were like, man, they don't have any training, but I can see something. They look a lot like Jesus. I got a question for you. People around you who don't believe in Jesus, when they look at you, do they see Jesus? Do they recognize, man, that guy, that lady, they love Jesus. They've been with Jesus. You see, we are the only Jesus that some people may ever see, and we are the only Bible that some people may ever read. And so are we giving them an accurate picture of who Jesus is? You know, it's not just enough for us to act like Jesus. We have to open our mouths and talk about Jesus too. And that's what Peter and John did. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because they had spent time with Jesus, because they were ready and willing to share the gospel, and they opened their mouths and talked about it, others could see Jesus in them. You see how this all just kind of piles on top of each other, and it all starts in one place, the foundation of daily personal Bible study, the foundation of spending time with Jesus each and every day. When we spend time with Jesus, it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us as well. Affect your family. It'll affect your neighbors. It'll affect your coworkers. It'll affect the people that you're friends with on social media. Affect the people you run into in Walmart. Affect everyone around you when you spend time with Jesus every single day. Well, let's talk about some practical ways to spend time with Jesus. I'm not going to do this, but if we were to raise our hands, and I don't want to do this because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, but if we were to raise our hands and say, in the last month, How many of us have spent time with Jesus every single day? If we raised our hands, we might be a little embarrassed. And so I would say that probably for most of us, we're sitting here and saying, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't really know what to do. So let's talk about that. First of all, start somewhere. If you're not doing anything right now, start somewhere. We're going to give some tools and resources and talk about that, but every single one of us had an opportunity to pick up a Bible and read it. Every single one of us has that ability to go online and find an audio Bible and listen to it. We all have those opportunities. So start somewhere, but also have a plan. If you do the blind spiritual finger, it's never going to go well for you. This is what I did in high school. Blind spiritual finger. I was like, man, I really need to spend some time with Jesus. So I'd open up my Bible. I had a red hardcover NIV Bible, right? And I would open that sucker up and I would just flip around and be like, bam, and I'd point to a verse and I would read it and be like, Jesus wept. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that quiet time today. That was awesome. And I'd shut my Bible, walk away and be like, I checked that off the list. That's not going to work. One of the things that we believe in is studying the entirety of Scripture. That's why, for the most part, what we do is we walk verse by verse through the Word of God. We need to do the same thing in our own lives. We need to have a plan of this is how I'm going to walk through Scripture. Number three, be consistent. Anything that we do in our lives, if we're not consistent at it, we're not going to be good at it. I think it has been about 3 or 3.5 years since I've played golf. I mean, I've played mini golf, but that doesn't really count. All right, a little putt-putt doesn't do anything. All right, if I were to walk on a golf course right now, I would lose more balls than I normally do. All right, the way I play golf is I do not like to go in a straight line. I like to see the whole countryside. Even if it's not part of the course, I like to end up there at some point. All right, and so I'll tee off, and I'm supposed to hit that way, and it goes over there. So I go in the woods over there, hack my way in. I like to take a machete with me, go in, find the ball. I usually find about 6 others in there while I'm there, hit one back out, and then I'm way over there and go back and forth. All right, I haven't played in a long time. I wouldn't be good at it. But when we do something consistently, we can get better at it. So we have to be consistent in studying the Word of God. And part of having our plan and part of being consistent is saying, this is the time, this is the place, this is when I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Maybe for us, it's first thing in the morning. Maybe it's at lunchtime. Maybe it's in the middle of the afternoon. Maybe it's right before you go to bed. It doesn't really matter when it is. It matters that it is. It matters that we spend that time with Jesus. So we need to be consistent. And then number four, don't quit. Don't quit. You know why we don't quit? Because this is an opportunity for us to hear directly from God. It's an opportunity for God to mightily change us. Now, the problem is, when we talk about that word change, some of us get really scared. Because we say, I don't want change. Because if I start getting really close to God, He's going to send me to Africa somewhere. Man, I hope that we send people from our church to Africa somewhere. I hope that we have people that come out of Spring Valley and go somewhere in the Middle East where we can't even say where they are because of the danger that they would be in. But they go there for the name of Jesus. I hope that we have people that are going to China. I hope that we have people that are going to Canada. I hope that we have people that are going to Argentina. I hope that from our church, we have people going literally around the globe. You say, that scares me to death, and I don't want to do that. I don't want my kids to do that. Can I tell you the safest place for us to be is in the center of God's will? Doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and happy. It means that's the best place for us to be. So when we spend time in God's Word, it changes us. And we might have to go and do that we are not expecting to. Well, let's talk about a few resources to use. There is an app that you can get for your smartphone called YouVersion. You go online and find that. And here's what I like about YouVersion. They have a lot of different Bible plans. They have some that are year-long. They have some that are 7 days. They have some that are on anger. They have some that are on pride. They have some that are exegetical. And you can go out there and find any kind of plan that you want. It's a great app. It's a great resource to use. There's a book by Oswald Chambers called My Utmost for His Highest. Phenomenal book. Phenomenal Bible study book that you can go and walk through and read the passage, read what he has written there, his commentary there, an incredible tool that you can use. Lifeway puts out a thing called Open Windows. They have a little devotional, also has a prayer section that we can pray for some of our missionaries through the International Mission Board around the world. There's a resource called Our Daily Bread. This is one that many of you are familiar with. It's been around for a very long time, and they have many good devotionals that are in there. Charles Stanley, his ministry is In Touch Ministries. If you go right on his website, there is a place for daily devotions, and you can go and you can read and you can study that. Then a couple that we want to talk about that we're going to use here in our church. First of all, if you're part of one of our Connect groups, we use a thing called Explore the Bible. This fall, they are changing the format, and we've talked with our Connect Group teachers, and they're really excited about this. They're changing the format a little bit to include with it a daily Bible study. And so what will happen is you'll come in Sunday morning or whenever your Connect Group is, you'll come in and you'll study the lesson, and then starting that next day, you'll have a Bible study, a daily Bible study that walk right along with that lesson. And then when you come back again the next week, you can talk about that and go to the next lesson, and then you go and study the lesson after that. This is a five-day Bible study that comes in here. There's weekly teaching. There's a Bible reading plan. There's scripture memory verses that are tied to this, and it starts on September 3rd. And so if you are coming and you're a part of one of our Connect groups, you'll have an opportunity to get one of these. These are free. You can take it. I encourage you to do that. All right? Now, here's the thing. These resources we're about to talk about, don't think I can do this one thing and that's all good. I can check it off my list. Every single one of us needs to see not how little can I do, how much can I do. Not how quickly can I get through it, but how much time can I spend with Jesus. You can probably do this in about 5 minutes. And if we think, man, that 5 minutes, that's a great place to start, but if we think that's the end all, we're wrong. And so this is a great tool that we're going to have, that we're going to be able to use. Then also, something that I've used in my life for the last 19 years is the Word of Life Quiet Time. And we have a couple of versions. There's three different versions. Well, there's more versions of that, but three that we're offering for adults. There's two book versions, and then there's the online version. And what I like about this is in our student ministry and our children's ministry on Wednesday night, we use the Word of Life curriculum. They have a quiet time that goes along with it. These are the same exact passages that your children will be doing. So when they do their quiet time, you can be doing the same exact thing, and that gives us an opportunity to have conversation about it. That gives us an opportunity to talk about those things and to talk, you know, what you learn from your quiet time and all of those sort of things. Now, these two different versions, in the book version here, what we have here is this one is kind of the standard one, and it gives you a place, two questions. I think we can all answer two questions. What is the writer saying, and how can I apply it to my life? And then it gives you a little commentary right there. This also has a prayer section in it that you can write down prayer requests. This also has a daily read through the Bible reading plan that you can go through. It's a great resource. Now, this other one is, it says on here it's for teens, but let me let you know a little secret. Even if you're not a teenager, you can still use this one. All right, this is a little bit more interactive. This asks a few more questions. This has places for you to write yes or no, to write some different answers in. Still the same passage, still walking through that, and give you a good tool that you can use. Also, the online version, I use the online version, and you can go to quiettimediary.com. quiettimediary.com, and you can get that. The online version has real-time accountability, and so if we're friends, if you can use Facebook, you can use the online quiet time, and so you can have friends in there, you can be accountability partners to see, oh, did they do their quiet time today or not, and challenge them, and encourage them if they didn't. You can also, and this is the part I love, you can also go on there and see what other people are writing about that passage. So if you're sitting there's times where we've all been there, right? And you're reading a passage, you read it like 63 times, you're like, I have literally no idea what this is talking about. The online version, you know what I do on that scale? I go to the public side, and I look through and see what other people, and now I understand a little bit more, because someone who is more spiritually mature than me has written something that helps me to understand what that passage is talking about. Also, the thing I really like is you can pray for others' prayer requests. All right, now I know many of you already do pray for prayer requests. But on this, you get to click a little button, and it sends that person an email. Every day I get emails of so-and-so prayed for my prayer request. And every day I click a button to tell someone else that I prayed for their prayer request. There is almost nothing greater in life to have an encouragement to know that someone is praying for you. And to see that show up in your email inbox every day is a great tool. Here's the bottom line. If you're not sure what to do, ask somebody. Ask your Connect Group leader. Ask Pastor Josh. Ask your deacon. Ask me, what can I do? Can I tell you, there is no end-all and be-all when it comes to what type of Bible study should I use. The important thing is that we are digging into the Word of God. And the important thing is that we are not just doing it to check it off our list and doing it as quickly as we can, but spending time with it. And so you say, well, here are two different things. By the way, these Pastor Josh will be out at the table right out here. These are $10 each. They're not actually $10, but that's what we're charging you for that. And you say, well, I'm going to go with the free one. Do both. Man, how much greater could it be than to spend lots of time in the Word of God every single day? For me, the Word of Life is just, it's probably about one-tenth of what I do every day. It's just the beginning of it. There's other reading plans that I am involved in and other resources that I use to study the Word of God every single day. And the important thing is for us as believers, if we're going to have a foundation in our lives, then we need to be spending time with Jesus every day, without exception, every day. Don't make excuses. Don't say, well, I can't do that because. You can. You're just choosing not to. Well, what are three takeaways quickly this morning, and we're going to wrap up. Number one, stop making excuses for why you aren't daily studying God's Word. If you have a job and your boss says to you, your job is XYZ, you need to go and do it. And if you don't do XYZ and you come to him with a bunch of excuses and day after day after day you keep going to your boss with excuses, what do you think is going to happen? How great is that relationship going to be? It's not going to be a very great relationship, and at some point there won't be a relationship. Excuses don't really carry any weight. And I'm not really sure why we got to the point where we thought, well, I can make excuse for not spending time with Jesus and it's going to be okay. I'm not sure where we got to the point where it was okay to be a Christian but not spend time with Jesus. So we need to stop making excuses for why I'm not spending time in God's Word. Number two, are you ready for spiritual change in your life? Spending time with Jesus will change you. Man, every single one of us have been to that point where we're like, something has got to change in my life. I'm not happy with this, or this area is struggling or whatever. Can I tell you the greatest change you can make? Spending time with Jesus every day and allowing him to change you and see what happens in your circumstances around you. We were just talking about, for the last year, joy. We talked about joy in our circumstances, joy in our life, joy in our serving, joy in our giving. That all comes when we spend time with Jesus. And then number three, make a plan. Failing to plan means you're planning to fail. Make a plan. What plan are you going to use? Are you going to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to start in Matthew, and I'm just going to read a few verses every day. I'm going to spend time thinking about them. By the way, you know what else I would encourage? Journaling down. I'm not a journaler. I don't do well with that. But, and so one of the things that the Word of Life Quiet Time makes me do is makes me answer those questions and put down, not on paper because I do it online, but put down my thoughts about that passage. And guess what? Then I can go back later and look at them. And I can remember what God was doing in my life. We need to have a plan in our lives. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes as we come to our time of invitation, come to our moment of, God, what do you want me to do? Without you raising your hand, without making any kind of indication like this, I just want you to reflect back on the last year of your life. In the last year, 365 days, of those 365 days, how many days do you think you spent time with Jesus, like real serious time with Jesus? If the answer is anything less than 365, we need to make some changes in our life. So I'm just going to encourage you. You don't need to come forward, you don't need to raise your hand, but I'm going to encourage you today to start spending time with Jesus. You say, today, I was already at church. Yep, that's a great place to start, but it's not the end all. Spend time with Jesus. And then guess what? Tomorrow, do it again. And the next day, do it again. And Wednesday, do it again. Be consistent. Lord, you gave us your word so that we could read it, we could study it, we could know you, we could know how you want us to live. And Lord, I confess that so many times we neglect your word. We neglect time with you. We neglect praying. We neglect having any kind of real relationship with you. And God, that's not what you want. You're not interested in religion. You're not interested in our church attendance. You're not interested in our outward conformity. You're interested in deep and personal and intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And Lord, that can only come when we regularly spend time with you. God, I pray that you would help our church, Spring Valley Baptist Church, you would help us to be a church of the Word of God. That we wouldn't just preach it on Sundays, we wouldn't just teach it on Wednesdays, but that we would live it out each and every day because we are spending time with you every day. May that be true of every single one of us. Lord, I don't think in this room this morning that every one of us has relationship with you. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would convict those who have never named the name of Jesus, that this morning they need to have relationship with you. They need to put their faith and trust in you, that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried and rose again. And if they would believe, you would forgive, you would save, you would heal them. So, friend, right now, with no one looking around, let me just ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? This Jesus that Peter and John healed this man in his name, this Jesus that he proclaimed, there is salvation and no other name by which we must be saved. This Jesus, do you know him? If not, today, would you say yes to Jesus? Would you say, I believe? You might say, Pastor Brad, I don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. But I believe that he loves us, that he died in our place for our sins. He was buried and rose again, and he is standing in front of us saying, come, follow me. Would you do that today? In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and I'm going to encourage you, if that's you, you're saying, I need Jesus in my life, would you? I'm going to be standing right down here on my right, your left. Would you just come and find me and say, I need Jesus? I would love to pray with you and share with you about that. Believer, maybe you're sitting there saying, I need to commit every day to spending time with Jesus. Would you do that? Would you say, Jesus, help me to stop making excuses. Help me to spend time with you every day. Help me to spend more and more time with you every day, regardless of what's happening in my life. You don't need to come forward, but maybe you do. Maybe you need to come and pray right here. Maybe you need to kneel at your seat. Whatever God's putting on your heart this morning to do, he's given you a want to down deep inside. Would you do that? Father, I pray now that you would help us to be obedient, to follow through in what you've been putting on our hearts, what you've been giving us a want to, that we would be obedient to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you